how MMA accidentally led me to Islam. He followed Khabib around his village in the mountains of Dagestan. Seeing that lifestyle really hit me was learning about all the numerical miracles in the Quran. Things like that has made me realize how precise and preserved this book was.
There's something very spiritual about that sport. You have to be very in tune to yourself. You go through a lot of suffering. Look like they have so much peace on their face. Resets me. The Salat fixes everything. And Salat gave me structure in my life. Virgin Mary, how they talk about her, has a whole surah dedicated to her. My beginning was that I was inspired by Khabib. So be someone that people can look up to.
And people don't really think about it. You know, dogs have puppies, cats have kittens, cows have calves. What do you actually mean? That God has a literal son? And then Ramadan, oh, how are you going to make it without food and water? But you're over here with a smile on your face.
I'd like to say thank you for being a role model. And one of my favorite quotes by him is, people won't look into the religion. They won't read the Quran. They won't read the Hadith. They read you. So be an ambassador of Islam.
This is the day.
Assalamu alaikum. So my next guest, amazing story to share. Get this. He accidentally came to Islam, found Islam through MMA. Check this out.
How MMA accidentally led me to Islam. For most of my life, I was pretty much agnostic. I was never an atheist because deep down, I always believed there had to be something bigger than us. And before I converted, I always had the feeling that out of all the monotheistic religions, Islam might be the one that could get it right. I knew that Islam had a lot of structure. It wasn't a pick and choose religion. There are clear rules, things that are halal and things that are haram, and Muslims don't mess around. So when I started MMA, I also started watching a lot of UFC. And obviously there's been a huge wave of dominant Muslim fighters in the sport. Seeing them talk about their faith, the discipline they had, and the way they carry themselves made me curious. Around 2022, my curiosity got the best of me and I started looking much deeper into Islam. One of the biggest influences was a YouTube series called Dagestani Chronicles by Will Harris. He followed Khabib around his village in the mountains of Dagestan. Seeing that lifestyle really hit me. They were living in the mountains, praying, training, wrestling all day, surrounded by their community and faith. It looked like the way humans were meant to live. Every single Muslim in those videos had this calmness in their eyes and this light on their face. And I knew it was because of the faith they had. During 2022, it was months of listening to podcasts, reading the Quran, and trying to understand Islam more deeply. One thing that really made me step back and think was learning about all the numerical miracles in the Quran. Things like that has made me realize how precise and preserved this book was, and that it had to come from God. I also love the simplicity of the belief, true monotheism, no middleman between you and God. I have a direct relationship with the Creator. So after about a year of learning and reflecting, I finally made the decision in 2023 to become a Muslim. Funny how the sport of violence ended up leading me to peace.
Ferris, welcome to the Dean Show. How are you?
I'm doing fine. Thank you for having me.
So that was amazing listening to that. And you were somebody who, in the beginning, you talk about it was an accident. Like you just, through MMA, you stumbled upon Islam, and here we are, here on the Dean Show. Tell us a little bit, unpackage that for us.
Yeah, 100%. Well, I started MMA when I turned 20. I'm currently 24, so it's been about a four-year journey. And like I stated in the video, I would never consider myself an atheist. I was always very spiritually attuned. I always noticed things. I always noticed the miracles of life. And I was always fascinated by the world around me. But I never really had a structure about it. It's just things I've learned throughout my life. When I joined MMA, there's something very spiritual about that sport. You have to be very in tune to yourself. You go through a lot of suffering. You go through a lot of learning curves. And it's a pretty brutal experience. And, you know, one of my favorite quotes is, a man meets himself through adversity. So I started questioning myself a lot when I started doing MMA, especially since I knew I had the aspirations of competing. Once I started wanting to compete, you know, like I said, it's a sport that makes you look inside and inwards. I started getting really into spirituality, and I think spirituality does end up leading to religion. And the only religions I really knew about were Islam and Christianity. And my mom is a Catholic. And as she's an amazing woman and she does everything right, and she has such high morals, but the religion never really resonated with me, even though I grew up in a Catholic household and everything. But something that did resonate with me after seeing the success, like I said, because of MMA, the success of the Dagestani fighters and everyone that's coming up there, I was very curious. They looked so, I said in the video, they looked like they had so much peace on their face. I love the way they talk. I love the way they carry themselves. And it's, every time they do something great, they credit Allah. And I was just so curious about the religion. So I started looking a lot more deeper into it. And, you know, like I said, it's just listening to podcasts and studying it. And it's a lot to take in. So that's why it took me about a year to make the decision to become a Muslim. But once I started looking into Islam, a lot of things started clicking with me. A lot of things started resonating for me from things I learned on my own. And then they just filled in the gaps. A lot of the prayers, the everything, the lessons, what's haram, what's halal, everything just resonated with me heavily. And then around 2023, I made the decision to become a Muslim. I was fighting. I was an active fighter during the time. And just this recent year, I started my Instagram account where I posted a lot about fitness and MMA. And then during the month of Ramadan, I wanted to teach Muslim athletes how to keep doing their sports while fasting, how we go about it, suhoor, iftar, how we're going to sleep, all this stuff, how to balance it. And I remember just saying, you know what, let me just talk about how I even became a Muslim in the first place. And then that video popped off. And now I'm here on the Dean Show. So, yeah, it's been fun.
How did you navigate through all the misinformation that's out there about Islam? There's a structured campaign, and there's people out there who will spend, you know, almost 100% of their time almost just systematically trying to disprove Islam. How did you come across some of these people, and how did you navigate through all that misinformation, lies, distortions?
You know, I was luckily introduced with all the positives of Islam when I first started looking into it. Like I said, the Dagestanis have put a great light on the religion. That was my introduction. I know there's been pretty bad things. I mean, all I knew about Muslims kind of when I was growing up was unfortunately about 9/11. That's kind of what everything's associated to. But to get more into it, just to share a little bit of my political beliefs, it's not like the West is, even though it's a Christian country, there's a lot of degeneracy going on here. And I don't associate Christianity with all the degeneracy that's going on here. So I'm not going to associate terrorism with Islam. I wouldn't do that to a religion. I just know that every religion has people that do bad things and say they're doing it for their faith. And that's not what really represents. There's great Christians and there's great Jewish people and there's great Muslim people. And I just, because there's some bad people that associated with religion, I always had a way of just not assuming the best out of everything. So, which is also an aspect of Islam, always assuming the best, which is kind of funny that I learned later on. But when I was looking to Islam, I was just asking all the general questions. And honestly, the religion is so simple. Honestly, it's you and God. There's no middleman. It's so direct. The only thing that could be considered a little off or foreign is simply that's in an Arabic language. But something about that really resonated with me because it meant I'm speaking the same language. I have to say my prayers in the same language that the prophet said it in. I'm reading the same book that the prophet revealed. Like I know the religion is preserved. So I never was really too turned off about all that stuff that I remember like seeing like people were like, oh no, you have to speak Arabic and blah, 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 and this and that. And it's just like, oh, I never really looked at that too much hard into it. I just understood that it just meant that they're trying to keep the preservation of the religion. And I never really got too much into the bad stuff, but I used to love watching the debates between Christians and Islam and Muslims. And I used to watch it. And, you know, sometimes I keep going back and forth. And it's just baby steps at a time. It took me a year to make the decision to become a Muslim. It took me a year of just constantly thoughts in my head. You know, let me listen to this podcast. Let me read this book. Let me listen to this. Let me watch this video. And it took a while to make that decision, but I did navigate to Islam towards then.
I like that. That's the most powerful point there is that direct connection with the Creator. And that's what fascinated me. It's when you look at all of the different man-made religions out there, you'll see in one way, shape, or form, if anyone wants to really delve deep into it, you'll see that it's calling you to worship creation. But Islam is pure monotheism, only worshiping the Creator. And that resonates. That makes sense. Pure, absolute monotheism, like you were just alluding to. This is really powerful. Just one God. That's it. Just connect with that Creator, the one who created you. So just a little bit from your beginning journey. You said your parents were both Christian?
My dad was, he's Lebanese, so he is Arab. And my mom is Catholic. She's from Peru, so I have a little mixture going on. My dad, he was Muslim, but he wasn't practicing. He never, I don't want to say too much without putting him, but he just, I grew up, I never saw prayer. It wasn't around my family. And my mom took care of me most of the time. I'll just say that. And, yeah, she was Catholic. I celebrated Christmas. I did all those things. And yeah, I'd still to this day, I only have one Muslim friend, you know, I'm rarely around it, but I try to go to the mosque and stuff, but I'm rarely around Islam.
Did you ever go to with your mother to church? Did you try to make that fit? The Trinity, God being Jesus, Holy Ghost, Father, did you try him dying for your sins?
100%. My grandparents are extremely religious. My mom prays for me all the time. She believes her religion deeply, and she respects mine a lot as well. But I did grow up under that assumption that like Jesus Christ was God. But it never really made too much sense to me. I never understood what was like the Trinity just never made sense. And even sometimes when I used to ask her, she would just be like, oh, it's just how it is. You know, it was a very general abstract concept. It was like, oh, he is the Son of God. And I used to ask questions about the Holy Ghost or the Holy Spirit. And why is there three, and who's bigger, the Father, Son? They're like, they're all equal, but they're all the same. And I used to get very confused about this kind of stuff. And I kind of strayed away from it. And it wasn't really too enforced on me.
Mm-hmm. And then you talk about structure. Let's talk about that. You really like the structure.
Yeah. What I love is the prayers. I think, like, for example, the Salat alone, the timing, how you have to wake up with the sun. Like now there's all this scientific evidence talking about circadian rhythm. Like you got to rise with the sun and then go fall asleep. If you were a Muslim and you were doing your five prayers, you would be completely aligned with circadian rhythm. If you prayed Fajr, you'd be tired by Isha. When Isha came around, you'd be tired because you woke up so early. You're going to go to sleep, and also prevents bad things from happening. If I go to sleep by Isha, I'm not, you know what they say, nothing good happens after 10 p.m., and I see a lot of my friends getting caught up in these kind of stuffs because there's no structure in life, in their life. And Salat was the very, I never prayed before. I never prayed. I would hope. I would just be, oh man, I hope this happens. And I wasn't really saying to Allah or to anything. I was just talking to myself like, oh, I hope this happens. But when I started doing Salat, man, my life just got in order. I would wake up early. I would go to bed early. I would take a little reset in the middle of the day for Dhuhr. Like, you know, and the human mind, we're so easy to forget. And those five prayers keep resetting me. I'm a Muslim. God is watching me. Let me say gratitude. Resets me. The Salat fixes everything. And Salat gave me structure in my life.
That's powerful. Yeah. From Salat to Salat, from prayer to prayer, constantly. You're always being reminded of your purpose in life, your creator, and rectifying your affairs before you leave this life. It's really powerful. And I like how you...
That was, like I said, I never prayed before. I mean, for someone that never had it in their life, when I started doing it, I was 22, 21 when I started praying. I was so confused. I had a little piece of paper and I'm trying to read it in Arabic and I'm like, Bismillah, you know, I'm trying to learn it. But then I start connecting the words. And then once I started remembering the Fatiha and then some surahs and then what you say in between, I started connecting more harder to the words. And then the most powerful position is when I'm fully on the ground, when I'm prostrated. That's when I'm like, man, I close my eyes and I just, Subhana Rabbi Al-Ala, I'm saying it. Sometimes I never, ever felt that connection before. Just I'm submitting to the Most High. And I'm in the lowest position. I'm on the ground. And I'm telling him, all praise be to the Most High. All praise be to the Most High. And I've never really done that before in my life. Never really submitted. But once I did, and I only submit to God, I found peace. I did.
Only submit to God. That's it. And it's the same God that Jesus worshiped. Same thing.
Same. Praying God the same way Jesus prayed.
Same way, like, yeah, same way as Jesus prayed. And it's there in the... Book of Matthew 26:39, and he went a little further and he fell on his face and he prayed to the Most High, to the Creator.
And I want to say, like, the most common misconception I get from my friends is just about the Muslims and the our opinions and relationships with Jesus Christ. I'm like, we love him just as much as you guys do. He has so much value in our hearts. but he was not the Son of God. He was a messenger. And I think that's just a really common thing that I had to overcome. I didn't know that like Muslims viewed Jesus so highly. I was like, oh, really? I thought it was like, I didn't think that they hated them, but I never realized like how much love they actually had for him, how they talk about Maryam, Virgin Mary, how they talk about her, has a whole surah dedicated to her. It's beautiful. If anyone like has any misconceptions, Muslims love Jesus.
Yeah. And when you break this down, when you unpackage it, you know, in my years of experience, when I'll talk to, and they did a survey about this, that I think it was like 50% of evangelical Christians didn't believe Jesus was God, that he was a righteous man, a righteous teacher. And this is more in line with Islam. And then when you really ask people to, what do you mean by Son of God? Because we repeat things and people don't really think about it. You know, dogs have puppies, cats have kittens, cows have calves. What do you actually mean? That God has a literal son? Because in the English language, what can it actually mean? Literal son, adopted son? Or a metaphor, it's metaphorical, right? And then when you break it down, it'll be more in line because it's the language of that time and someone dear, righteous, a slave of God, like they'll be like, yeah, metaphorically, I believe he's Son of God. Yeah, okay, we'll believe the same thing. So when you really unpackage it and have them really, instead of just repeating things that they just been, people have been taught since childhood, it's more in line. They'll be more in line with what right now you accept it as a truth. I accept it as a truth that Jesus is the Messiah. He's a messenger. He's one of the best humans to walk on the earth, but in no way, shape, or form can a human being who ate, slept, went to the bathroom, got tired, is not truly self-sufficient, can be the creator of the heavens and the earth.
One of the biggest, when I was learning about Islam, and I was reading the Quran, one of the biggest points, and it says, like, I always ask my friends when they're kind of quite like confused about this. My friends are also respectful about my religion, especially my Christian friends. They've had nothing but respect when I told them I was Muslim, but they just ask questions. And something I usually say, and something that's mentioned in the Quran, is like, it's more of an argument that Adam is the son of, why does Jesus, who had a mother, the Son of God, while Adam, who had neither a mother or a father, he was made by God. Why isn't there more of argument that he's the Son of God? Oh no, because, and then it's, now it's a loophole. It kind of shows a contradiction. And I remember one of the most important pieces of media that I consumed that almost like a month after I heard this, this might be the most important, like more influential to me than the Dagestani Chronicles I watched. The most informational Muslim video I ever watched was a lecture by Khalid Yassin called The Historical Jesus. And it's a like an hour and a half lecture of him talking about historical Jesus. He barely talks about Islam. And he's a Muslim, but he barely talks about Islam the whole lecture. He just talks about everything that we know about Jesus and what had to happen. Like he made it so non-biased, the whole rant. And it was just, when he was explaining it all together, I was like, no, Jesus is not the Son of God. And Islam might be the true religion. Honestly, and that's when I realized how simple Islam was. It's no crazy rules. The things that are haram are obviously, these are not good for you. God does not make anything haram that benefits you. Like, everything that's haram is things that was going to hurt you in the end. I remember when I was dealing with all like, man, these Muslims have a lot of rules. Why is everything haram? Blah, blah, blah. Because I remember one rule was that music is prohibited. And I was like, music's prohibited? It's just music. Then I started listening to music. I started viewing it from a different lens. Oh my God, it changes your mood. It changes your mood. It has so much influence on your thoughts and your heart. And then you listen to today's modern music, it's like they're not talking about too many good things. And it's like just Islam starts connecting all these things together that it starts making you question things you never really questioned before because of modern society. I mean, in the United States, there's so many things that we take that are so normal that are like, this is really bad. This is really bad. From, I didn't know riba. I remember learning the concept about riba. I didn't know interest was the reason almost everyone's in debt. I didn't realize alcohol, just even a little sip of it could cause a huge downfall. You can't balance these things in your life. You just cut them off completely. And I used to think, oh man, that's kind of strict, is it not? It's strict because if you even just a little bit can cause a complete downfall. And I love reading a bunch of self-help books. And just they always talk about just cutting off things from the core, like atomic habits, just making things, if you want to break a habit, make it unattractive. And just like in Islam, just to prevent more further sin, you cut it from the base. You cut it from the base so it never even prospers in the first place. It's beautiful. Everything, it's so well thought out. And as amazing as Prophet Muhammad was, the Quran was not just one man can know all the knowledge that was in the Quran. It was, he just spoke it, but the message was from Allah spoken. It's so beautiful. There's so many miracles in that Quran. If you just read that book, I feel like anyone would be just amazed. You just have to read it with somewhat of an open heart.
Mm-hmm. Open heart. It's being sincere. And I like that. It's just too much structure. It's too many things in there. Perfect system that a man could have made these things up by himself. There's no way. And it's easy from the sidelines to go ahead and just throw dirt and to slander and to say malicious things. But when someone is sincere like yourself and you really look into it, like you said, you took a long time, months and months of listening, reading, studying. And you were obviously asking the Creator to guide you, and here we are, you know. So that's the formula, sincerity, and invest some time, and God Almighty will guide you if you're sincere and you're looking at it objectively like you were. So how has it been with you said your friends have been accepting. What about your parents? How have they been, family? Have they been spooked? Some parents, they are in the beginning, because of so much of the lies and misinformation about out there about Islam, they get really scared.
I will say that my experience has been very positive. I will tell you that social media will make it seem like Jewish people hate Muslims, and Muslim people hate Jewish people, and Christians hate Muslims, and Muslims hate Christians, and we all hate each other. Maybe to the extremes, and you see, those are things that are gonna be pushed to you through the algorithm. But I had nothing but positive experiences with other religions. I am Muslim. I tell Christian people I'm Muslim. They respect me. They ask questions. I ask them questions. We talk very civil, and we just learn more about each other. Then the way my mom was just happy I believed in God. That was her biggest thing. Like, because like I said, I was nothing. I was like almost agnostic, I would consider. But it wasn't because I was agnostic, because I actually believed, like, I was just agnostic because I didn't want to look deeper into it. Almost like, kind of when you look into these things, it gives you anxiety. So I was like, nah, I kept pushing it away, kept pushing away. But like MMA kind of makes you look internally. You know, you have a lot of time by yourself, especially when you're in those fight camps and stuff. You got to really lock in. I had a lot of time by myself, and I was cutting off all external distractions because I wanted to focus on my competitions. So I started asking myself a lot of questions, and that's how I started looking into religion. And I remember when I told my mom, like, I think I'm going to do Ramadan this year. She's like, Ramadan? And then I was like, yeah, you know, I've been looking into Islam and this and that. She's like, okay, are you Muslim? And then I was like, thinking about like how excited I was to do Ramadan. And then I was like, yeah, I think I am Muslim, you know, like, and I was like, yeah, I want to do it. And I remember, man, it's so funny, the mental state you get in when you're fasting. And that's, a lot of change for me. I became specifically a Muslim during my first Ramadan. So I was like, you know what, I'm going to do Ramadan, and I'm a Muslim now. So yeah. My mom was nothing but happy about it. My coaches noticed that I was a lot more clear-headed, tunnel vision. Idina Suratul Muslim. I was on a straight path. I didn't know that was it, but my head was straight. My head was straight when I got into the religion. I think a lot of people respected me for it and were just happy for me. So I've had positive experiences since reverting to Islam.
See, our education is so important. Just by you talking, people listening, you're dispelling so many of the myths. Oh, it's so many rules, it's so difficult. But then you're listing the wisdom behind some of the injunctions are there, pushing away harmful things. And then Ramadan, oh, how are you going to make it without food and water? But you're over here with a smile on your face talking about, you know, you accepting Islam while you're going. So that's what happened? You took your Shahada during Ramadan?
Yeah. I never went to a mosque or did it. I'm kind of, I don't know, I'm a little bit antisocial. So I remember the whole mosque thing and the ummah. I was like actually kind of intimidated by it. I'm like, I'm just going to be a Muslim by myself, you know? Yeah. And I learned the Shahada. I said it by myself and I was like, I'm a Muslim. And yeah.
That's it. Yeah, it's very simple. It's very straightforward. You testify there's nothing worthy of worship except the Creator, Allah, and Muhammad is his final messenger. And that would include all the preceding messengers, including Jesus and Moses and Abraham. It just makes sense, the chronological order connecting it all the way to the first man, Adam. He did Islam, submission to the will of God, and that message continued all the way until the final messenger, Prophet Muhammad. And they all came with proofs and evidences. You evaluated those proofs and evidences. Let's touch upon that. Some of the things that fascinated you. You talk about the numeric miracles. You talk about these miracles of the Quran. Unpackage that for the person who's new to that.
I will say that if you just want to like absolutely blow your mind away, just go to Quran miracles and just Google it, and the numerical miracles. And we stated earlier that, like, yes, Prophet Muhammad was sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he was an amazing man, but the book, the contents of that book, it's not man written. You read the Bible there's multiple authors. I don't want to discredit the Bible, I don't want to put Christians out, but there's multiple authors. We know these guys, they're men. They had no association with even Jesus Christ directly. It's according to, it's too much distance. Anyways, the Quran has so much content. First, it started off super simple. How many times are the word days mentioned in the Quran? 365 times. Oh, that's a weird coincidence, you know? You start looking at stuff like that. Then how many times is the word man and woman mentioned? And they're mentioned the same equal amount of times. Nope. And that's another thing another myth. Men are not viewed higher than women. Women are talked about so highly in the Quran. There's a whole section about divorce and the whole surah about divorce. And it's only talking about the rights the woman has. You can't mistreat her and all this stuff. But anyways, man and woman are equal. How many times is the word heaven mentioned? It's just all these crazy numbers. And then it's like, it's such a thick book. It's such a thick book. Talking about many different concepts. Talking about the spiders. Talking about the bees. I look at these things and I'm like, not one person could have known that. And not only could not one person not know that, one person during that time. And then on top of that, a man that was illiterate. So he was saying all this and he never stuttered one time while saying it, you know, it's insane. It's insane. It's a miracle. It's a miracle. There's nothing's perfect in this world except the Quran. The Quran is the only thing that's perfect. There's no contradictions. The numerical miracles are insane. And the book blew me away. The book blew me away.
What final closing suggestions do you have for somebody who's kind of in a similar state of mind? They've been partying. There's that void. It's not fun anymore. Or they realize that there's got to be more to life, agnostic. Maybe they come from other religions. It doesn't make sense, you know, worshiping creation or man, Jesus, whatever the case. And then they're tuning in. But there's so many distortions, lies, propaganda against Islam. So they're like, you know, they're worried. Like I've interviewed many people. They're like, man, they wished Islam wasn't the truth. They were frightened because there was just so much now, so many obstacles that they would have to go through. What advice do you have for those individuals?
I want to comment on that last part. As a revert, man, sometimes I'm like, there's so many, like my lifestyle had to change. I had to change. I'm like, man, is Islam the truth? Because it holds you to such a high standard. It holds you such a high standard. You have to rise to the occasion. That's what Islam does to you. It makes you rise to the occasion. It makes you be a better person. And sometimes as a revert, I'm like, man, I just want to go back to how I was before because I get kind of tired and those old thoughts keep coming back, those old habits. But I will say this as like a finishing statement. If you want someone to look into Islam and be inspired by it, my beginning was that I was inspired by Khabib and all those guys and those mixed martial artists. It's easier to change yourself than it is to change the world. So be someone that people can look up to. those guys that are representing Muslims in the UFC are carrying themselves so highly, and it's inspiring. So if you want people to change, you yourself have to be inspiring and carry Islam to a high degree. During Ramadan, I was training. I was training hard. I'm always praying in my office room when I have a chance. Hey guys, I need to take a little break from training. I go to the office. Everyone knows I'm doing my 5-minute prayer. I'm doing Asr. I come back and they're like, oh, Ferris is just praying. They see it. Then they ask questions. People will ask questions when they see that you're living the life that you're talking about. Whether it comes to fit, if you want people to be healthier, you yourself have to be a healthier person. Let them be inspired by you. If you're looking into all this stuff and you don't know where to start, let's start with the biggest thing and ask yourself, do you think, is there a creator or is there not a creator? That's the first biggest hurdle. Don't worry about Islam. Don't worry about Christianity. Don't worry about Judaism. Don't worry about any religion yet. Do you believe in a creator or not? Look around, make that decision. Once you make into the decision, you have to ask yourself, like, okay, out of all the monotheistic religions, look into a little all of them. I learned a lot during this whole process. I learned a lot about Judaism, learned a lot about Christianity, learned a lot about Islam. Be sincere with yourself and be extremely open-minded. And I think the path will lead back to Islam.
I love it. I love it. And I always give people that same homework and ask the creator alone to guide you. And if you're sincere, he definitely will, like he guided you. And since you mentioned that you were inspired by Habib, what if you had a chance to send a message to him, we'll try to get it to him. What would you say to Habib, who helped inspire you to accept Islam?
Well, I would just like to say thank you for being a role model, 100%. And one of my favorite quotes by him is, people won't look into the religion. They won't read the Quran. They won't read the Hadith. They read you. So being an ambassador of Islam. And that's been something I've been carrying in my coaching, in my life, with my religion. I try to be the change that I want to see in the world. So thank you, Khabib, for being just an example of what a Muslim should be. And you're the reason I became a Muslim also.
Alhamdulillah. Thank you, Ferris. Thank you for spending some time with us.
Thank you. I really appreciate it.
We'll see. Hopefully we meet in person one day.
Inshallah. Appreciate it.
Assalamu alaikum.
Wa alaikum salam.
Let's touch upon that. Some of the things that fascinated you. Talk about the numeric miracles. You talk about these miracles of the Quran. Unpackage that for the person who's new to that.
I will say that if you just want to like absolutely blow your mind away, just go to Quran miracles and just Google it. And the numerical miracles, and we stated earlier that, like, yes, Prophet Muhammad was sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he was an amazing man. But the book, the contents of that book, it's not man-written. You read the Bible there's multiple authors. I don't want to discredit the Bible. I don't want to put Christians out, but there's multiple authors. There's multiple authors. We know these guys, they're men. They had no association with even Jesus Christ directly. It's according to, it's too much distance. Anyways, the Quran has so much content. First, it started off super simple. How many times are the word days mentioned in the Quran? 365 times. Oh, that's a weird coincidence, you know? You start looking at stuff like that. Then how many times is the word man and woman mentioned? And they're mentioned the same equal amount of times. Nope. And that's another thing another myth. Men are not viewed higher than women. Women are talked about so highly in the Quran. There's a whole section about divorce and the whole surah about divorce. And it's only talking about the rights the woman has. You can't mistreat her and all this stuff. But anyways, man and woman are equal. How many times is the word heaven mentioned? It's just all these crazy numbers. And then it's like, it's such a thick book. It's such a thick book, talking about many different concepts, talking about the spiders, talking about the bees. I look at these things and I'm like, how you? Not one person could have known that. And not only could not one person not know that, one person during that time. And then on top of that, a man that was illiterate. So he was saying all this and he never stuttered one time while saying it, you know, it's insane. It's insane. It's a miracle. It's a miracle. There's nothing's perfect in this world except the Quran. The Quran is the only thing that's perfect. There's no contradictions. The numerical miracles are insane. And it's the book blew me away.
What final closing suggestions do you have for somebody who's kind of in a similar state of mind? They've been partying. There's that void. It's not fun anymore. Or they realize that there's got to be more to life, agnostic. Maybe they come from, you know, the other religions. It doesn't make sense, you know, worshiping creation or man, Jesus, whatever the case. And then they're tuning in. But there's so many distortions, lies, propaganda against Islam. So they're like, you know, they're worried. Like, I've interviewed many people. They're like, man, they wished Islam wasn't the truth. They were frightened because there was just so much now, so many obstacles that they would have to go through. What advice do you have for those individuals?
I want to comment on that last part. As a revert, man, sometimes I'm like, there's so many, like, my lifestyle had to change. I had to change. I'm like, man, is Islam the truth? Because, man, it holds you to such a high standard. You have to rise to the occasion. That's what Islam does to you. It makes you rise to the occasion. It makes you be a better person. And sometimes as a revert, I'm like, man, I just want to go back to how I was before, because I get kind of tired and those old thoughts keep coming back, those old habits. But I will say this, as like a finishing statement. If you want someone to look into Islam and be inspired by it, my beginning was that I was inspired by Khabib and all those guys and those mixed martial artists. It's easier to change yourself than it is to change the world. So be someone that people can look up to. Those guys that are representing Muslims in the UFC are carrying themselves so highly, and it's inspiring. So if you want people to change, you yourself have to be inspiring and carry Islam to a high degree. During Ramadan, I was training. I was training hard. I'm always praying in my office room when I have a chance. Hey guys, I need to take a little break from training. I go to the office. Everyone knows I'm doing my 5-minute prayer. I'm doing Asr. I come back and they're like, oh, Ferris is just praying. They see it. Then they ask questions. People ask questions when they see that you're living the life that you're talking about. Whether it comes to fit, if you want people to be healthier, you yourself have to be a healthier person. Let them be inspired by you. If you're looking into all this stuff and you don't know where to start, let's start with the biggest thing and ask yourself, do you think, is there a creator or is there not a creator? That's the first biggest hurdle. Don't worry about Islam. Don't worry about Christianity. Don't worry about Judaism. Don't worry about any religion yet. Do you believe in a creator or not? Look around, make that decision. Once you make into the decision, you have to ask yourself, like, okay, out of all the monotheistic religions, look into a little all of them. I learned a lot during this whole process. I learned a lot about Judaism. I learned a lot about Christianity. I learned a lot about Islam. Be sincere with yourself and be extremely open-minded. And I think the path will lead back to Islam.
I love it. I love it. And I always give people that same homework and ask the creator alone to guide you. And if you're sincere, he definitely will, like he guided you. And since you mentioned that you were inspired by Khabib, if you had a chance to send a message to him, we'll try to get it to him. What would you say to Khabib, who helped inspire you to accept Islam?
Well, I would just like to say thank you for being a role model, 100%. And one of my favorite quotes by him is, people won't look into the religion. They won't read the Quran. They won't read the Hadith. They read you. So be an ambassador of Islam. And that's been something I've been carrying in my coaching, in my life, with my religion. I tried to be the change that I want to see in the world. So thank you, Khabib, for being just an example of what a Muslim should be. And you're the reason I became a Muslim also.
Alhamdulillah. Thank you, Ferris. Thank you for spending some time with us.
Thank you. I really appreciate it.
We'll see. Hopefully we meet in person one day.
Inshallah. Appreciate it.
Assalamu alaikum.
Wa alaikum salam.